On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, after a three-week hiatus while moving the GCT Network studio, we are back to discuss the film Castaway. Is Chuck Nolan's survival a direct result of his losing all control? And isn't this reminiscent of Jesus telling us not to worry about tomorrow? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Come on in. Admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 29. I'm Michael.
And I'm Anna Brenda.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation, and ultimately our Christian walk. You are tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Brendan, welcome to the brand new studio.
I know, it's so cool.
We're in here, we're all cozy, packed in like sardines, but it's been 3 long weeks.
I feel like it's been a 3-week nap.
I really miss podcasting. I miss the broadcasting and working with you. And so, but all of a sudden, it's you get to week 2.5. It's like, did we ever do a show together? We did a show together. I know. I could go to the website
at one time. It seems so far away. Like what?
Well, first and foremost, if you listen to the last episode, episode number 28, you know that we moved the studio and moved it about 40 miles east of where it once was, and finally got settled in, working out some of the kinks here, even as we're trying to do the show. And so bear with us, things will get a little bit better. But one of the exciting things, Brendan, is the bandwidth that we have at the brand new studio.
Now, when you say bandwidth, you mean like they ask us how wide is our band, and we got to give them specific measurements on our band?
We don't have to report to anybody.
Oh.
Our band will stand firm. And we just need to add some more. We need a jug.
Oh yeah,
and a string bass.
The moonshine jug. Yes, and the wash tub bass.
So what it means is that we have all kinds of possibilities that we can do here in the future at the GCT Network. More video, more live video, roundtable discussion, things like that. Tie in a lot of exciting things. Oh, he got excited because I mentioned roundtable. We're going to talk about that later on in the show.
I knew he would.
How does everything tie in together like that? What have you been up to?
Michael, the biggest thing right now is that I am now, wait for it, an uncle.
Uncle Brendan!
Yeah,
can we
buddy.
Change your name now to Uncle Brendan? You could be like the new Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave Macon. You could be Uncle Brendan Taylor.
But I don't want a festival named after me.
You do too?
Okay, yeah.
Wow, okay, so you are an uncle. What'd you do?
Well, I have a niece. I didn't do anything. Let me set that record straight. I was not involved.
Right.
I was involved in the reception. Wait a minute. Nope. So I have a niece, and her name is Abelia Elise Perry. That's A-B-E-L-I-A, Abelia. I call her Abby, but the rest of the family seems to be stuck on Bealey.
But
that sounds too close to Billy, and we already got a Billy and a Bill already in the family. So I'm going to stick with Abby for right now.
Who's going to win?
I hope Abby does. she was born 6 pounds, 7 ounces, and has the cutest oblong alien baby head I've ever seen. I've been told she'll grow into it. I hope not, because she looks really cool.
See, now, if I would have known that you were going to say that, I would have queued up Bill Cosby and the monologue where his wife has the baby, goes up and he says, "Congratulations, love. Oh, you're so beautiful. I love you. You just gave birth to a lizard." What else?
So, okay, that's the biggest thing. Secondly, And there's actually more information about this on the FCC website.
Yes.
I recently participated in a faith-based film festival for the Christian Television Network.
Wow.
Yeah, that was fun.
They are, aren't they based in Nashville?
Well, they're, I don't know where their main headquarters are, but the Nashville affiliate station is in Mount Juliet.
Okay. Tell us more.
I'll tell you more. It was a 72 hour ordeal that started, actually, believe it or not, it started on Abelia's birthday.
Oh.
So that I honestly didn't get to be there to see her emerge or whatever. Whatever you want
to
call
it. Her birth?
To see her birth. Because that night I had to be in Mount Juliet with the director. His name's Richard. I'll talk a little bit about him in the blog post that came out this morning. It was a simple setup. You know, we went to the station, we got to meet some of the other teams, and then once all the rules and guidelines were given out, we basically drew a Bible passage out of a fishbowl.
Oh, wow.
At random, you know, after we started up a little bit. And we got Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 10.
And what does that say?
Well,
somebody wrote a song about it.
Well, Solomon wrote it.
Ah,
Pete Seeger adapted it to "There is a season, turn, turn, turn."
Yes,
birds. A time, yeah, and the birds version is most popular.
Yes,
you know, a time to be born, a time to die, blah blah blah, doopy doo. Yep. And our short film is called "A Time to Love."
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And
Exploring the definition of love.
You got a chance to watch the video.
Yeah, everybody needs to watch the video because it just brings up points that need to be said in this day and age. And there's a lot going on in the culture right now and things that many people are not comfortable with, and that's fine. But when it turns to bitterness and anger and mistreating other people, that's not fine. There's no excuse for that. And you guys, it's a disturbing little film. It makes you really step back and say, whoa, have I ever been like that? Do I know anybody like that? What would I do in that situation? And really impressed with that little film. So you guys, are you going to continue on? What's going on here?
Well, with this film, since it was part of a timed competition, so everything that we wanted to do, we couldn't necessarily do. But I will say, not just to brag, but we did win some awards. We won Best Sound, Best Directing, Best Screenplay, and, wait for it, once again, top prize, Best Film.
Nice.
Which includes airtime on CTN.
Wow.
And when those details become available, I will share them.
Awesome. Good for you. That is great. And again, he posted it on the FCC website. So get over there to ChristInCinema.com and did that this week in lieu of
the Monday Movie Review.
Which you have been keeping up with splendidly these past 3 weeks.
Oh, well, thank you.
So what have you seen? In the past 3 weeks, which one was the winner?
I would say A Walk Among the Tombstones.
Ooh,
Liam Neeson's new movie.
Okay.
Oh man,
I watched the trailer, but I don't recall what it was about.
It's about Liam Neeson. I forget his character's name right now, but he's an ex-cop turned private investigator who is sanctioned by a drug kingpin to solve the murder of his wife.
Okay.
And then as he goes deeper into the kingpin's story, we as the audience find out what all has happened to Liam Neeson's character. And it's really a character study.
Oh, good.
His character, but it's really well done. It's really a lot like the old Bogey.
Okay, so film noir and
guy noir or whatever, whatever you want to call him. That's actually from a national public radio show. But anyway, it's like the old. It's like Maltese Falcon.
Awesome.
Yeah. Oh.
Whoa. Yeah. You just Put that on the list. Maltese Falcon is one of the greatest.
Yes.
One of my very favorite films. Oh, you know what? My daughter Haley would be very pleased if we put Casablanca on there as well. What? Casablanca. And?
Play it, Sam.
Anything else?
Like I said, I'm a storyteller.
Yes.
I got to do that a little bit with the film festival. However, I will be storytelling with the Borough Tellers. That's the storytelling group in Murfreesboro.
Right.
This weekend with Haunted Murfreesboro. And this is where we take the tour around the square and then a couple of blocks around the square to the Vine Street.
That's this weekend?
That's this weekend.
Yeah, you tell my wife after we're done here, because we're closer to Murfreesboro now.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's kind of weird how that works. Yeah. It's like a big circle. But yeah, that's this Friday and Saturday. I'll be there both nights. It's a walking tour of Murfreesboro's history. And like the stories behind the hauntings. Now, don't be confused. There is another group that's more like the paranormal investigator group, where they have like pictures and, you know, sound clips.
Okay.
And orbs.
Ooh. Oh. No, wait. Do it again.
Ooh.
Okay.
So don't get as confused with them. However, they do a nice tour.
Good.
So. If you want the orbs and the scary clips and the sound bites, go to them. But if you want the stories behind those hauntings, as well as some of the really bizarre history of Rutherford County, and I even leak in a little Bedford County history in there.
Wow.
I got to represent the.
Well,
homeland.
It was the state capital was in Bedford County at one time.
Well, it was also in Rutherford County.
Well, they split. Rutherford County split off from. Well, let's not do it.
Okay, yeah, we're going. Okay,
this
okay.
isn't Finding Christ in Middle Tennessee right here. Hey, you know what? But speaking of good storytelling, Brendan, I completed The Blacklist the first season.
Oh.
Now, I don't think they're showing the new season on Netflix yet.
No, they won't do that until season 3.
Okay, yeah. See, I'm going to have to go back and start watching again. I'm going to get my wife to watch with me because that is some great storytelling. But. So when I finish that, well, what am I going to watch now? Okay, so I completed the 4400. I've watched all the Blacklist that I can watch. I decided that my sabbatical of Doctor Who came to an end.
Okay.
So I went back to Doctor Who, watched the first episode with Matt Smith, and decided that I could take another break. I'm just not impressed with that guy yet. So I went ahead and added some more to my reading list. And now I'm reading, rereading. I haven't read it in, I don't know, a couple of decades, but I'm reading Paul Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of those stories that moves so fast that, as I was telling you, I felt like Gandalf in the Mines of Moria, sitting there wondering which way to go and exclaiming, I have no recollection of this place. So I'm rereading Pilgrim's Progress, and it's like I met a brand new friend. It's like I had Alzheimer's and right. meeting somebody new again that I'd already met. But there is an exciting thing I'm going to look into, and hopefully I'll have some information for next week. So anybody that is a fan of Pilgrim's Progress, which there are many out there because it's the second all-time selling book, second only to the Bible, I know some folks that are doing a film adaptation.
Whoa.
Of it. And
whoa.
So that could be pretty interesting. But I see here you have another storytelling thing.
I do. Like I said, this weekend I will be with Haunted Murfreesboro. But next weekend, on November 1st, which I know is the day after Halloween, but, you know, oh well, I have my first solo professional, as in paid, storytelling gig. Oh, thank you, kids. Thank you.
They
you
know, came.
I wondered where the kids were hiding. Hey,
somebody had to take care of the kids.
Hey, man. You know.
What do I look like?
They were in that box for three weeks, weren't they? But yeah, first paid storytelling gig.
What,
and it's for a private birthday. Like, somebody just called me up and say, hey.
So what are you going to do?
I'm going to tell ghost stories for about an hour.
Wow.
And I ask, like, will I need to bring anything? And she said, no, we'll have you an amplifier and a microphone. I said, really? How many people are going to be there? Oh, about 60 to 70. What?
Wow. How awesome is that?
Yeah.
So real quick, How does this work? Do you bring your own stories? Do you retell famous folklore? What do you do?
Well, it depends on the event and what is asked of me to bring. And this time I was asked to bring ghost stories. And I explained that, I've got like a few of the traditional campfire ghost stories, uh-huh. You know, where you build up and then you reach out and touch somebody, yes. And scream as you do it, like, where's my golden arm? You have it, you know, stuff like that. And then I said, like, would you also be interested in, like, historical ghost stories? Because of Haunted Murfreesboro, I've got a huge resource for that.
There you go.
And they're like, oh, yeah, that'd be even better. We like the real stuff.
Wow.
So it's just going to be an hour of that. Like, pretty much what Haunted Murfreesboro will be, except with more of the, more like the campfire stories too.
Nice. Man, that is exciting. Can't wait to hear more about that or how it went on the next episode. But right now, Brendan, are you ready to, it's been a while.
It's been so long.
How about some real news?
Throw it! So last night, 6 days ahead of schedule, Marvel released The Avengers: Age of Ultron teaser trailer.
I'm gonna show you something beautiful. Everyone screaming for mercy. You want to protect the world, but you don't want it to change. You're all puppets. Tangled in strings. Strings. Started us on.
Nothing lasts forever.
Wow. Okay, so apparently the trailer leaked.
Okay.
You know, these big corporations, they got leaks.
You know what? In fact, when you posted it on the Finding Christ in Cinema Facebook page,
yeah.
I clicked on it immediately, and I was on my iPad. I said, oh, no, I want to watch it on the computer, you know, so I can grab the audio for it.
Right.
And I went back to that link, and it was broken, at least momentarily. But thankfully, I immediately found it on firstshowing.net or yeah. What have you.
it was leaked because it was supposed to actually air on TV October 28th with an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh!
That's what was supposed to happen. Oh. However, and I love how Marvel handled it. Okay, so after it leaked, they couldn't, you know, hold it back anymore, so they officially released it. And then in a tweet, they blamed Hydra.
Yes, that's all the kids say.
Yeah, it was kind of funny.
Wow, hey, that's a great way to handle that.
Yeah.
What stinker out there leaked the
I didn't look into who leaked it or where or why. You know, obviously I know why because people are impatient, but
every party has a pooper, Brendan.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
But hey, now we've got this is I think the biggest piece of news we've got.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll find out some more stuff.
Hey, it's been 3 weeks. You, like I said, you've been keeping up great on the Finding Christ in Cinema Facebook page. In fact, why don't you pull that up? We'll get back to those and just do a quick rundown after we. Well, you know what we need to talk about right now is the excitement that is building for the final Hobbit film. The Battle of the Five Armies. And, you know, I've been very critical of this film series because it didn't stack up to my expectations and keeping in line with Tolkien's beloved classic, The Hobbit. But once I decided or figured out or came to terms with the fact that it is loosely based on J.R.R. Tolkien. Oh, you know what? I missed some stuff in the news. There's things back here on the bookcase behind me if you're watching on the video. One of the things, speaking of which, that I want to mention, my birthday was while we were on hiatus. Yours is coming up.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
See this copy of The Silmarillion?
I knew that wasn't familiar.
My wife got me that. Because that is the first American publication.
Oh, that's cool.
And so that is great on the Tolkien.
I was like, man, for a new edition, that's pretty torn up.
No, I have other versions of the Silmarillion, but that was the first American edition. And so
that's really cool.
You know, I'm a humongous Tolkien fan. It's obvious to anybody that knows me. And so, yes, I and our good friend, the patron saint, Ron of the Red Oaks, who I'd like to give a quick shout out to that I forgot about, Brendan, talking about moving. He sent me a message from down a state below us saying, I want to come up. I got a truck. Let me help you move. I said, no, Ron, you don't need to do that. What a dear Christian brother.
Oh, that's really cool.
And then I found out also that, boy, I'm jumping around here. That's been 3 weeks. Got a lot to say.
Yeah.
He's got a problem with his a rotator cuff on one of his shoulders and is not going to be able to have surgery done on it until next year.
What?
So he was willing to come up here to another state to help us move, and he's injured. And you know what? That's the kind of person that I aspire to be.
Man.
That is just... The
Ron.
God bless you, sir.
Yeah.
So anyway, Ron and I both have negative things to say about the Hobbit film trilogy series. But once you accept that it's loosely based on The Hobbit, then they're fun, and I'm really looking forward to the third one. And as has taken place on the entire series of the Middle-earth films, going back to Lord of the Rings trilogy, they've always had a big bang-up final end credits song, and they win awards and all kinds of good stuff. Well,
yes.
If you recall... The Two Towers, there was a scene where young Peregrine Took is entertaining Denethor, and Peregrine pledged his loyalty to Denethor over the death of his son Boromir. And anyway, there's terrible things going on out, and Denethor asks Pippin, you know, sing me a song. And Pippin says, we don't have, you know, my people, we don't have songs for times such as this. And so sing me a song.
For evil times.
Loneliness behind the world ahead. And there are many paths to tread. Through shadow the edge of night, until the stars are all alight. Mist and shadow, cloud and shade, all shall
absolutely soul-stirring.
Mm-hmm.
And Brendan, many people are out there listening to this podcast right now going nuts saying, you ding-dong, that song is from The Return of the King. So let me just go ahead and correct that right now. Well, the news is that Billy Boyd is returning to Middle Earth, and he will be providing the final song of the Middle Earth series.
That's cool.
And if it's, I can't wait. So the word is that he is, or he wrote the song with Philippa Boyens and Fran Walsh, who is Sir Peter Jackson's partner. So excited about that. Can't wait for that. Although I don't want the series to end. I want it to go on and on. And I want.
But it does. In the original trilogy.
And on my bookcase.
Yeah.
So anyway, Children of Hurin and all kinds of good stories going on. Okay, what else do we have?
Well, I think you got a little Star Wars news. I don't know if you want to get that now.
No.
Okay, hey. Sorry.
Oh, man.
Wait
a second. What? You spoiled the news.
You can't spoil the news. So, okay, scrolling down on the Facebook feed at facebook.com/ChristinCinema. We're just going to go from the top to the bottom, bullet through side comments if we want to. Johnny Depp as the Big Bad Wolf. Did you see this?
I did see that you posted it. I didn't look into it.
Okay, well, the film adaptation of Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods.
Oh, and we spoke about that several episodes ago.
Yeah. Meryl Streep, she's going to be the witch.
Sold.
Right. Well, this could potentially unsell you because in this picture, Johnny Depp, it's the cover of Entertainment Weekly. This website's response to the picture is by far my favorite. I'm quoting the website on this. I'm guessing the wolf's parents are a Steven Tyler mic stand and a Stevie Nicks yard sale. And looking at the picture, I can't help but agree with them.
Oh, my.
Okay, so Johnny Depp is the Big Bad Wolf. We've already covered the Age of Ultron teaser. Star Wars and Guardians of the Galaxy, wait for it, crossover.
What?
I don't understand.
I don't either, but that's on the list.
Okay.
And more depressingly, a God's Not Dead sequel.
The air cut to it.
Next up, and this one I'm actually excited about. Tom Hardy could be, I guess this is a rumor for the rumor mill.
Oh, sorry.
Tom Hardy could be Apocalypse
and
the new X-Men film.
I'm a miracle man.
That's not Tom Hardy. That's Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, but he would say that in the film.
Anyway, okay.
If he were to be in it.
There's a couple of interesting infographics that have come out. One being all the superhero films that are coming out. Did you see that?
I didn't have time to investigate.
Well, let me tell you this. We thought 2016 was the magic movie year.
Okay.
No. 2017 has it beat by 4 films.
Really?
Really. We'll get to more of that.
So now we have to say 2017! Or 20. 2017. Yeah, that's what we got.
2017.
Wait, let's do that again.
Okay.
2017! Okay, I'm just practicing.
No, you're fine.
Okay.
We've been out of practice. Next up, a new Mockingjay trailer.
Yeah.
And it is, quote, intense, and it was pretty intense. I don't remember it specifically right now, but it was pretty cool.
It's going to be a good film.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yes! What is the news on this?
It will be, quote, at least a trilogy.
Oh. At least.
That's what the writers and producers...
as magic.
Uncle Dursley,
well,
I'm so glad you joined us.
The air cut to it.
Sorry. You're going to ruin that quote.
No. At least a trilogy. That is exciting.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a little book, though.
It's a very, very small book.
Smaller than The Hobbit.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when the air gets to it.
Yeah, it blows it right up. Poof.
Fans of the Nickelodeon scary story show Are You Afraid of the Dark can now watch all the episodes on YouTube.
Okay,
well, for me, that was a big deal.
Okay, never heard of such a thing.
Whatever. Okay, a Labyrinth sequel is in the works.
Okay.
We can be heroes.
We can.
Get it? David Bowie, yes. Heroes?
Yes.
Okay. Apparently, that's the only David Bowie song that the American cinema likes to play in its films. Independence Day sequel is brewing, according to... and that roughly translates to Jeff Goldblum. and, of course, you posted the exclusive new poster for The Hobbit.
Yes.
This is back in October 6th. And that's a pretty, I will say that's a pretty sharp poster.
Oh no!
Get it? See, I just used this. I could always use this one.
Boo!
Boo! No, it's funny because he's holding a sword to the camera. And then let's see. Oh, more Johnny Depp as another Jack Sparrow, because he's there will be Pirates of the Caribbean 5.
Because it makes lots of money.
Because he is a Midas. He has the Midas touch.
There you go.
Let's see. Oh, more Dracula Untold news, which I really want to see. I hope I get to see.
Yeah, and they did say that is going to tie into the Universal Monsters reboot.
Awesome. Okay, so cool. More news about the Disney Pixar Inside Out.
Oh, right. What did they say?
You posted the article. I don't know.
I did?
Yeah.
Okay.
It says posted by Michael Hansen.
Oh, right.
So.
Well, there you go.
And then I posted, where they happened to find the real Dracula's dungeon in accordance with Dracula Untold.
So basically, people need to make sure, you all use Facebook out there, make sure that you are friends with Finding Christ in Cinema on Facebook at facebook.com/Christ in Cinema. Go.
And a new trailer for Exodus.
Oh, yes.
Gods and Kings.
Oh, man, I cannot wait.
Yeah. And then there's a Taken 3 trailer.
Nah.
With Liam Neeson. I know. Like, what else can you steal?
Yeah.
A Zombieland sequel. Did you ever see Zombieland?
Okay, but we've had enough.
I think we're good.
No.
Oh, there was a new Interstellar trailer.
Okay. But you know what's more important?
Oh, Star Wars, finally!
La 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 la.
All kinds of spoiler alerts going on out there in internet land, and I'm afraid of all of them. I don't want to, where did my sound clip go? Brendan.
I don't know, I didn't touch it.
Oh no, I lost it, Brendan.
I didn't touch it.
Oh no! Okay, hold on.
Wait, what is that?
This will be the first time in Finding Christ in Cinema history that we had to edit out a goof.
And they're going to know it, too.
Warwick Davis, yes, wanting to let us know a little Star Wars news.
How many times do I have to tell you I don't want one? No, no, nothing you can say is going to convince me otherwise. Look, please stop calling. I need to keep this line clear. I'm expecting a very important phone call any minute. But thank you. All right. Love you, Mum. Hi, I'm Warwick Davis. I just returned from hosting Star Wars Celebration Europe 2 in Essen, Germany. Now, like many of you fans out there, I was hugely excited to hear news that Star Wars Episode 7 will begin shooting next year. I also got to interview Kathleen Kennedy, president of Lucasfilm. Let's just remind ourselves about what she had to say. And in the meetings that you've had, you know, about the development of the new films, has my name cropped up at all in the conversations?
Yeah, it's daily.
So there he is, full beard grown, won't leave the phone.
Hello, Warwick Davis.
Nope, that's an apple.
Hello, Warwick Davis. Yes. JJ. Hi. Yeah. Would I like to appear in Star Wars Episode 7? Let me think about it.
Hold.
Yes!
And we're back.
Hello? Yeah. Just got to check the diary. Yep. Good. Pinewood. Yeah. Yeah, I'll be right there. All right. May the force be with you. Yes!
Oh, I can't wait. So there you go. Warwick Davis, he played Wicket, which was the lead or the main Ewok that we got to meet in Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And also he appeared in several roles in The Phantom Menace, and I didn't realize that. We talked about it on
No.
We talked about The Phantom Menace, but we didn't talk about Warwick Davis. And
I didn't realize he was in The Phantom Menace.
No, me neither. Okay. So anyway, there you go. That's the big Star Wars news for this episode. Professor Flitwick, Willow, he's been in all kinds of movies. He is, you know, he is actually the guy that, is, for little folk in Hollywood nowadays, he's the guy to go to in order to get your roles cast.
Oh, well, actually, there is another guy that's been making a... If I can find him. Oh, I can't remember his name.
Well, all of the folks that filled the role of the goblins in Harry Potter films, Warwick Davis, who also, of course, was Professor Flitwick, he was... why can't I remember the name of the main goblin from Gringotts?
Oh, I can't either.
Oh, goodness. Oh. 3 weeks of no podcasting.
Man, this is what this does to
okay,
us.
Okay, we're
man.
Too rusty. We're too rusty.
But no, but real quick, the guy I'm talking about, he was recently in X-Men Days of Future Past as the main villain in that movie. And then he's also in the Game of Thrones series.
Oh, Peter Dinklage.
Dinklage.
Yes, he's awesome.
Yes, yes.
I haven't seen any of the Game of Thrones, but I am very familiar with him as an actor and enjoy his work. All right. Are you okay, enough of this. Enough bumbling and stumbling. Are you ready to go to the movies?
Take me there.
I got a gift for you.
Oh, my.
My granddaddy used it on the Southern Pacific.
I'm always going to keep this on Memphis time.
I love you.
I love you, too.
I'll be right back.
Hey, is all this turbulence from Santa and those 8 tiny reindeer?
Better buckle up, Chuck. It's gotta get bumpy.
Think that I am right here.
100 miles squared. That's a search area of 500,000 square miles. That's twice the size of Texas.
From the Academy Award-winning director of Forrest Gump.
We live and we die by time, don't we?
Tom Hanks.
You'll never match. Any chance, will you?
At the edge of the world.
I have made fire!
The end of a man's journey will become the beginning of his life.
I would rather take my chance out there on the ocean than to stay here and die.
Hold on!
You were lost for 4 years. We had a funeral, a coffin.
What was in it?
Wait, what was in what?
The coffin.
Oh, yeah. It was like Elvis. There was an Elvis CD. Yeah, like
memorabilia.
All this, memorabilia. Yeah. Tom Hanks memorabilia from Apollo 13.
Have you gotten Tom Hanks out of your system now?
Man, it's gonna be hard. I think now I can subside because there's a lot of heavy hitting stuff with this film.
This film was a beautiful film. I hadn't watched it since near after it came out. I only had seen it that one time, and I had forgotten what an amazing and beautiful film this was. Great storytelling. Great storytelling, as far as I'm concerned. Timing, excellent. They wrote lines for Wilson so that Tom would have something in his head to actually interact with.
That's cool. And honestly, that makes sense because I guess in order to portray how lonely Chuck was on the island, you would have to give... It would be an incredible service to the actor to give him that thought.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you've got nothing.
Right, right.
And it could go in so many different directions. But we see in some of the dialogue... Well, dialogue. We see in some of the speaking moments with Chuck and Wilson, we get a really crisp and clear picture of where Chuck is at.
Yeah.
While on this journey in the island.
Absolutely, and I think that was handled expertly. I do remember thinking the first time that I saw it that whole buildup, because you really don't know what's going on. You know, his relationship with this volleyball. And I was able to revisit those thoughts watching it the other day. But on a closer inspection, you can see just how excellently told that struggle to... He had to struggle to keep his sanity.
Right.
You know, and just sit there and keep cool-headed and go, you know what? What do I have? What am I going to be able to do with these things? Don't throw anything away. You can do something with it. You know, excellent storytelling. Brendan, talk about it just for a moment from the storytelling aspect. Now, does this film, do all films have a prologue? Or did this start with scene one or act one?
This started, actually, I think the story actually started with scene one.
Okay.
Even when he's, you know, before the island, before the plane crash, Chuck Nolan's story actually starts before that.
Okay.
Now I don't want to say actually there is a prologue and the story, I don't think, starts with it. It's with the woman with the wings. She sends that box to her husband.
Right.
And of course we see that box being delivered to her husband, who happens to have a mistress at the time.
Right.
So there's
that was a great thread in that story.
There's that little bit of a prologue.
Okay.
So I would say the main story doesn't start there. The story starts with Tom Hanks, you know,
who he is, what he is,
yes,
where he is, what he's doing,
why he's important.
Yes.
He's apparently some top exec in the FedEx company.
And also just the really hitting home time.
And we'll talk about that.
Yes, we will.
We'll talk about that. Anything else you want to say about it?
Just that everybody needs to rewatch this film.
Yeah. And so many fine points in it.
I have no idea what you are going to bring up as far as finding Christian themes. And so I'm going to be very interested in the way that you take this.
Okay. Well, all right. The main conflict in Castaway is man versus nature. That is the central conflict around which the story thrives, the plot drives, anything else that rhymes with Ives. And as with most stories that revolve around and resolved after this conflict, nature remains the winner. And here's what I mean by that. Okay. This is not because nature remains quietly still, but instead it is because nature is constantly and even chaotically changing. And man finally realizes that he cannot keep up and then has to change himself in order to adapt and survive.
I like it.
Okay, well, this is a little buttering up, if you will.
It sounds like we're speaking of things under the sun.
Actually, you know what? That actually does tie into it.
Okay.
I'll say we can track this transformation through the character of Chuck Nolan. Not Truck Nolan. Chuck Nolan. And ultimately acquire spiritual application through this transformation. Now, in this first clip, we get a very clear picture of Chuck's mindset.
Time rules over us without mercy, not caring if we're healthy or ill, hungry or drunk, Russian, American, beings from Mars. It's like a fire.
can either destroy us or it can keep us warm. That's why every FedEx office has a clock. Because we live or we die by the clock. We never turn our back on it. And we never, ever allow ourselves the sin of losing track of time.
Okay, now that clip, unfortunately, in that scene of the movie, Tom Hanks' character, Chuck, he's speaking to a crowd of people inside a shipping warehouse.
In Russia.
Thing is, he's in Russia. Those people are Russian and do not understand English. Therefore, there is a translator translating behind Tom Hanks. How dare he? So I'm going to read the transcript of what Tom Hanks is actually saying just to get it in our heads. Time rules over us without mercy, not caring if we're healthy or ill, hungry or drunk, Russian, American, or beings from Mars. It's like a fire. It could either destroy us or keep us warm. That's why every FedEx office has a clock. Because we live or die by the clock. We never turn our back on it. And we never, ever allow ourselves the sin of losing track of time. Now, this is the image we get of Chuck at this part in the film, this very onset, a man who likes to be in control. He lives by the clock and wants to keep it that way. We can see it as he rushes to get all of the packages moved off of the booted truck and onto the other truck so they can get to the airport.
Did you say the Buddha truck?
Booted.
Oh, okay.
Booted, because remember, that's the reason why it's stuck in Red Square.
Right.
Because it's got that...
It's stuck.
Yeah.
The truck is stuck.
I was like, well, a boot, that would mean it's stuck.
Yes.
And this philosophy also permeates his personal life. As we see him and Kelly both whip out their personal planners.
Oh, yeah, that scene was crazy.
And it's amazing how synced up they were.
But I was thinking the whole time, that is a commentary on modern American life. It really is.
Yeah, you have to plan
okay,
out.
Okay, I can move this, but I can't move this. You've got to do this. And that was a great scene.
Yes, and it proves the point that as long as he knows what time it is, he is in control of his life and his future.
Or he thinks he is.
He thinks he is. But as the story progresses, starting with the plane crash and fleshing out as he works out his own survival.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, he got me. I had to get you there. On the island, he's working out his own survival on the island. Chuck slowly realizes that he is losing track of time. The sin that he was so adamantly opposed to in his opening monologue.
Yeah.
And we can track. He tries to keep track of time in the cave. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, there's this scene where...
that's an elaborate...
We see his calendar, in a sense.
His lunar or solar?
It's solar because it's the sun's shadow that shines in on the tick marks.
Right.
And he's got it down to the months and days, which is really cool.
Yeah, yeah,
He does this exceptionally well with just the tick marks etched into the cave wall, but it doesn't compare to the Memphis time that he used to keep on Kelly's pocket watch. In this scene, he is gradually losing more and more track of time, as if slowly. And this is where I'm going to go with. He is losing more and more track of time as if he is slowly stepping further and further away from a lamp.
Oh!
In the darkness.
Oh, I like that.
And every day he spends on the island thus becomes a step further and further away from any hope he has of ever escaping and returning to civilization. This hope is eventually revitalized when the porta potty comes ashore. Yes, it is a part of a porta potty. And he is able to craft a sail for his raft that will now be able to overcome the crashing and towering waves. But until then, in that 4-year period, from the scene of, I forget what the last scene was before he wakes up, and then we see the fish swimming, and then that spear come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yes.
That's a long time. And in this time...
It's 4 years.
Yes. In this 4 years, he has a life-altering revelation, and this is what he speaks of in his... when after he revisits Kelly and he's revisiting his friends, we hear about his hopelessness while on this island.
Because I was never going to get off that island. I was going to die there, totally alone.
He knew he was... After he realized, I don't want to say that just yet. He's feeling like he will die there. He will spend the rest of his days there, and it kills him. Because he had no more control.
Oh, sorry.
he had no more control.
Oh, can I have a mulligan?
Yeah, go ahead. And it killed him because.
I couldn't even kill myself the way I wanted to. I had power over nothing.
Yes, he could. He even attempted to commit suicide on the island because he just wanted. He didn't want to live that way anymore. And as it turns out, he couldn't even do that right because what happened? The little wooden makeshift body that he used for the test
snapped the
The branch. He would have hit his legs. He would have broken his legs.
Suffered.
He would have suffered incredibly.
Yeah.
But then we hear about the revelation.
That's when this feeling came over me like a warm blanket. I knew somehow that I had to stay alive. Somehow I had to keep breathing, even though there was no reason to hope, and all my logic said that I would never see this place again. So that's what I did. I stayed alive. I kept breathing.
He kept breathing, and he knew that he had to do that. And with this revelation, he also realized his limitations.
And one day that logic was proven all wrong because the tide came in, gave me a sail. And now here I am. I'm back.
I love that. Is this, can we talk about this scene right now?
Yes.
Man, it's one
you
shot.
You mean technically?
Yes. Technically speaking, it's one shot.
And it's 3 minutes and 40 seconds or something.
Oh, man. And he delivers it so well.
Yeah.
As an actor, Tom Hanks delivers this monologue so well. It's, oh, man.
He's a great actor. Let's do a sidebar here because there are so many people in Hollywood that they would have to chop that up. Okay, what was that line again? And, okay, cut, and then, you know.
Right, yeah, but, man, Tom Hanks. See, this is why I'm on a Tom Hanks
Well,
kick.
I can understand because that, I recall The Green Mile, which, I'll tell you what, Brendan, in the last 3 weeks, The Green Mile has come up in several conversations. That
really?
Was an episode of Finding Christ in Cinema for the record books.
Really?
I think, yes.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, because the whole, we don't need to get into it. Go back and listen to The Green Mile on Finding Christ in Cinema. Tom Hanks is a superb actor, and I can't wait for the next movie, which will be, what, maybe Forrest Gump or something?
No, it's already gone through theaters again back in September. I think his next thing he's working on.
No, are we taking it off the list?
Oh,
Forrest Gump?
No, we're not taking it off the list. Good. What are you talking about? Man.
Okay, back to the
question
to the film.
Was that? Back to the film. Okay, so he's back. He found the hope through the sail, and we now see, now that he is back home, he's had his catharsis with Kelly. We now know his ultimate resolution.
And I know what I have to do now. Gotta keep breathing. Because tomorrow the sun will rise. Who knows what the tide could bring?
See, Chuck Nolan, at the beginning of this film, he was a man who wanted to control everything. Or at least have the tabs. At least by wanting to keep time.
Right.
He wanted to have that, and you can call it power. He wanted to be in charge. He wanted to be the go-to guy.
He, at the very least, wanted a roadmap in front of him. He wanted to know what was coming up. He wanted to know what his destiny was, where he's supposed to be, what he is supposed to do. And that is the big curveball that he got thrown. At least that's my take on that.
And that is the curveball. Actually, I think that alludes to more of his transformation. Because before, he did want to know everything.
Yeah.
But then when he realized that he couldn't even kill himself the way he wanted to.
He had no power. That's a key right there.
That is the key, and that's actually the platform that we're going to go to. First, we're going to look at James chapter 4. I got it pulled up here.
Oh, good.
Okay. We're going to look at James chapter 4. Let's see. Oh, 13 and 14. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time. Keyword there, time. You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. And this was the truth that while being in this conflict, this man versus nature conflict, this is the truth that Chuck comes to.
Well said.
So in order to adapt and survive, he has to take on a whole nother outlook. He has to take on a whole nother mindset. And this mindset, I believe, is echoed perfectly in Psalm 119, 105.
How is that?
Well, think about it. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. See, in the darkness, in pitch black, you can't see anything in front of you. But if you have a lamp, you can see where you're at. You can see where you're honestly at. Right. And if you have a sober mindset and an honest mindset, you can see and accept where you're at. You can't see what's in front of you. You can't really see what's behind you. You can't see what's around you. You can see where you're at, and that's it.
Right.
And Chuck becomes content with that, whereas earlier, he wasn't. Earlier in the film, he wanted to know everything. But now, he is content with knowing where he's at.
Amen.
With this lamp. And Jesus, I got to bring it back to what Jesus says.
I would suggest that you do.
Yes, because this really ties it in. This is in Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount, never fails. Starting in 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, not about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you of more value than they? Just really quick, what animals were on the island? There was the crab.
Yeah.
That poor crab. the one he tried to eat raw.
Yep.
It just souped out. And then when he became a more experienced hunter, he threw that spear from, what'd you say, like 20 yards away?
Yeah, easily.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Those animals were provided for, and then they were also provided to him.
Yeah.
That was taken care of, plus the coconut milk.
Yes.
Natural laxative.
The rainwater and the dew.
Oh, when he started collecting the rainwater and the leaves. Yes, those things were all provided for him. Okay, let's go on. Starting back in 27, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life?
Hmm.
Why are you so worried about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. Consider those boxes that...
Wow, you are hitting a home run here, Brendan.
I know, man, I'm telling you. Consider those boxes, those FedEx boxes that watch the store.
Yes.
There was that dress... That designer dress.
Yep.
here you go. But yep. He ended up using it like a fishnet and then some other...
Used it for several things.
Several different things. Yep. And these things were provided for them. Let's see. I want to finish this off with verse 34, which I think will be the key text. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And that is how I see Castaway.
Ladies and gentlemen, after 3 weeks hiatus, Brendan Taylor steps up to the plate. And here comes the pitch. And he swings and hits. There it goes. Over the wall, Brendan Taylor. Good job, all the kids say. It's a beautiful film. You brought out beautiful points. It really, the whole time I'm watching this, I'm thinking, you know what? This is really a good allegory of the Christian life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Or well, the transformation.
Well, there you go. And that's what I mean, because the Christian life should be a life transformed.
Yes.
You know, it reminds me, I'm also thinking during this, listening to you making your points, I'm recalling the phone call that you left for the Theonauts on their last episode, Brendan, and you hearken to Ecclesiastes 3:11, which there's a real Ecclesiastes vibe going on in this studio today.
There is.
You talking about your film that you won awards with, us talking about time here.
Time, a time to bring in boxes from the shore.
Yes, and a time to
sail. Well, I was going to say, and a time to sail back out.
Absolutely. And, there's a time to gather boxes and a time to rip them open in order to find out what, you know, what blessing is in there for you as well.
Yes, yes.
But also, we are talking in this film about things that take place under the sun. Okay, and that's what the preacher said over and over again. He's talking, when you read Ecclesiastes, you have to understand that he's talking about our mortal life, things that take place under the sun, and there's nothing new under the sun, and those things he's talking about in this life, what we're going to discover. But Brendan called in to the Theonauts on their last episode. You want to hear that, which I can't remember which number it is.
Oh, I think either 26 or 27.
Yeah, I believe 27. And he brought up Ecclesiastes 3:11, and Brendan, I'm going to assume, because you often use English Standard Version,
yes.
He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Now, that is a great translation. That is what I've grown up with. It's basically, you know, the same in you know, KJV, New American Standard Bible. But I have been hooked on the New English Translation, which David Gaddy of the Theonauts, I suggest everybody use that as your first line of defense, is the New English Translation. You can get them for cheap, but the great thing is there are over 60,000 translators' notes. So as you're reading through, you can see, you know, they describe it as being able to peek over the shoulder of the translators as they're working and say, why are you using that? And they're, well, let me tell you why we're translating it this way, because of all this scholarship that has gone into it. And in the New English Translation, it translates it thus: God has made everything fit beautifully in its appropriate time, but he has also placed ignorance in the human heart. That's really the same concept as placing eternity. I'm ignorant of eternity, Brendan. I don't know about you. I don't understand that concept.
Well.
And so, he has placed ignorance in the human heart so that people cannot discover what God has ordained from the beginning to the end of their lives. Now, somebody would be tempted to say, well, there you go. So, here's a contradiction, because now the Bible's saying that man can't discover what God has ordained. No, remember, the preacher, Solomon, is discussing things that take place under the sun, below the sun, on this earth, this mortal coil, as they call it. Now, well, we have been given revelation as to what God has ordained, and it's found further in the scripture as you're discovering those things. But I say all that to say this. Let's go back to placing eternity into man's heart, because I really love that translation. Because it paints a beautiful picture. And speaking of painting beautiful pictures, why is it that Chuck on that island is so intent on art and creating and drawing? What is it about that? That goes with placing eternity in his heart. And what really got me was, okay, I see that he's decorating his cave and he's doing all these wonderful things. But what really got me was that one box, that one FedEx box that he did not open, and the and that design on there. How did that save his life? Because those fettered wings gave him the idea to fetter the porta potty remnants, right? And he even went so far as to decorate the raft that he built. Why? Because he had eternity in his heart. He had ignorance in his heart. I don't know what's going to happen, but he was being revealed. So he was spending his time under the sun, but as you so ably pointed out, Brendan, he was opening up to these revelations on his time there.
He accepted the fact that he could not know everything.
Yes.
And he recognized his own limitation as a man.
Yes.
And that's where the power comes through.
That is, what a beautiful film.
Man.
What a beautiful film. So let's, Brendan, we discussed on the last episode that our mission here at the GCT Network and Finding Christ in Cinema specifically is to, what are we doing? We are equipping, armoring, preparing Christians. Yeah.
Edifying them.
Building them up.
Building them up,
yes. And how do you build up things? You give a little bit of a foundation here. Here's something that you can stand on. Here's some building blocks. And we are giving you the building blocks so that you, when you're sitting with your friends and your buddy says, hey, I'm on a big Tom Hanks bender, and you go, let's watch Castaway. And you will have something to discuss. What? Give them, just real quick, how are you going to discuss this? Throw it out, you know, 15 seconds, boom.
I would say, man, what is his obsession with trying to be in control all the time?
Yeah.
What is why does Chuck care about time so much? It almost seems abnormal.
Yeah.
About how much attention he pays time. What would you think about that, friend on the couch with me?
Double decker couch.
That, yes. I'll be sitting below, he'll be sitting up top, like, "Hey man, hey up there. What do you think about this?"
There you go. And that is your armor.
Yeah.
There you go. We just armored you for that. You ready for some listener feedback? Brendan, you talked about a buddy of yours that had started binge listening to, yes, Finding Christ in Cinema. Who was that again?
That was Corey Flippo.
Yes, and he did call in and leave a voicemail on our voice line.
Awesome.
Awesome. In fact, he called in to 507-407-GCTN and said this.
Hey, Michael and Brendan, this is Corey Flippo. I've recently just started listening to the podcast, and may I say I love them. I've listened to Star Wars Episode 2 recently, and I was just wanting to say that would you maybe possibly consider Anakin and the Council as God and Lucifer? The God being the Council, and Anakin being Lucifer, because in Episode 2, he's beginning to want more power, and he is selfish and greedy and wanting to basically take over the Council, per se, and become the most powerful. And the Council, therefore, does not want to accept him into the Council. Much like God with Lucifer, once Lucifer became jealous of God and wanted his power and to become God, he was cast out of heaven. So I'm kind of seeing a comparison to Anakin and the Council in this way. What are your thoughts on that? Thank you for this podcast. And again, I enjoy listening to each one of them. Thank you. Bye-bye.
There you go.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think he's onto something, because there's definitely that image of the established order. Now, granted, in that episode, I believe that's where I put forth my opinion that the Jedi Order is a broken order.
Right.
However, they're still striving to be just, and they're still trying to be right. And that does create the environment almost kind of like heaven, where it is absolute truth and justice. You know, it does paint that picture. And then with Anakin wanting to redirect that toward himself.
Yeah.
And to elevate himself. That's almost like Lucifer. That is like Lucifer. I agree with him. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Because I mean, that's why he was, I mean, Corey said it, that's why he was thrown out of heaven. And that's kind of why Anakin was, I guess, exiled from the Order later on.
Yeah.
Why he became the Dark Jedi, which is really the only remove away from Sith. So,
yep, there you go. Hey, now I, as a general rule, I don't give too much thought to Satan. I heard somebody a long time ago say, "Don't major in, you know, the devil. Don't give too much time to that, and instead major on God." And so I don't have an opinion about that whole,
gotcha,
you know, yeah, where Satan come from and what happened, you know, and all that stuff. But what I do like is the way that Corey is thinking.
Yeah.
And that is the point.
Yeah.
You know, I like the way that you're thinking, Corey, and that you are prepared when you are with friends that are unbelievers or skeptics or nominal Christians or doubters or what have you, that you take a look at movies in order to find deeper meanings and ways that you can, you know, teach the gospel or at least be a witness to those around you. So carry on. Thank you for listening to the show. Hey, we have somebody that we've also never heard from before, and this message was left using SpeakPipe. So on any of our websites, Brendan, if you go on there, you know, ChristInCinema.com, you'll see on the left-hand sidebar a little red thing that's, you know, voicemail or whatever. You click on that. If you're on your computer, on your smartphone, on your tablet, and you are connected to the internet, you can leave a voicemail using your built-in microphone on your device, just like this call here.
Hi, my name is Antonio, and I'm calling from Long Island, New York. And I was just, and this is for Finding Christ in Cinema. I've been listening to you guys for quite some time, and I enjoy your program very much. And I was just wondering if you guys would ever consider doing a movie review on the 1981 movie Excalibur. I'm sure there's plenty of themes in there you can find concerning Christ. Just wondering if that's a movie that would be of interest to you guys to want to review. Like I said, I enjoy your program very much, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you, whether it's over the radio or on your blog. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Brendan, have you ever seen Excalibur?
I have not.
Neither have I, because when it came out in, 1981, I was 11 years old, almost 12 years old when it came out, and my parents said no.
And I honestly, at that time, was a twinkling in my father's
no,
eye.
No, not even.
Not even. So.
So, I say we go ahead and put it on the list. Now, it has nudity and sexual content in it. Who knows what those people were doing back in King Arthur days, but it is a by all accounts, it's an epic film, and we'll give it a watch and see what we can do with that and make sure that we let everybody know to be a filter
and not a sponge.
Not a sponge. So, Antonio, thank you so much for calling. Welcome to the family, brother.
Yes, yeah. We're in New York.
Yes.
Yes, that's awesome.
So thank you so much again. And please call in anytime. Any feedback, any questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks, any of that good stuff. And then we got Sweet Caroline. Caroline Marshall, up there in Southern California. I know this young lady. I remember her when she was this big, cute as a button, and now she's a college-age young lady and is doing amazing things in life. She sent me a message and said, and I quote, this was on Facebook, and I quote, "Gone Girl needs a review." Have you seen that?
I have not.
No, it stars Batfleck.
It does. And for that reason, I was initially
skeptical,
hesitant. Yes. However, I've been keeping tabs on the reviews.
Yeah.
And it's I do want to see it. Hopefully I will get to see it while it's in theaters. If not, it would definitely be okay for podcast fodder.
Well, she said, you know, when it comes out on DVD. So she said a review, and but I'm kind of assuming that she is looking for a episode of Finding Christ in Cinema on it. I'll double check with her on that and see if that's exactly what she meant. Actually, what she meant, I should have said. So, Caroline, thank you very much, and we're looking forward to some more input from her in the near future here at the Great Commission Transmission Network. Any other feedback that that you're aware of?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Lightning round! And you know what? The most epic safety video ever made, says Sir Peter Jackson.
Oh, wow.
And Air New Zealand. You know, they love their hobbits and their Middle Earth down there in New Zealand. I wonder why. But anyhow, they released yesterday as the, and I'm quoting, as the official airline of Middle Earth, Air New Zealand has gone all out to celebrate the third and final film in the Hobbit trilogy, The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies. And this little safety video that they're showing people, instead of the stewards and stewardesses standing up and doing their whole rigmarole and when this goes on and blah, 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 they made a film, and it's starring Elijah Wood and Sir Peter Jackson. Well, Sylvester McCoy is in it as well. All kinds of famous people are in this great 4-minute safety video that they show. I'm assuming this is what they show to people before they take off.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Why can't Southwest Airlines do stuff like this? So
really.
I put a link to the video in our show notes, our real show notes, that you'll find a link on the blog post at the bottom down there. You want to watch this video. And there you go.
Kirk Cameron.
Yes.
Please stay away from my birthday.
What?
Did you not hear about this?
No, what?
Oh, Michael.
He's coming to your birthday?
I wish. Oh. I got a few words for him. Let me
what?
Tell
you. What?
Yeah, so an article from the Washington Post recently came out by Abby Olheiser. I believe that's how you say your last name. And she's speaking on Kirk Cameron's involvement with his words on Halloween.
Okay.
His recent words. Because, he's got that new movie coming out.
That Christmas movie.
Saving Christmas.
Which I watched the trailer and it looked funny.
Well,
it didn't look funny?
We'll cross that bridge when we get there. However, Kirk has also had an interview with the Christian Post. And he urges Christians to fight Satan on Halloween by, quote, throwing the biggest party on your block. Now, here's his angle, and I'm going to throw it at you.
Okay, lay it on me. My wife is a fan of Kirk Cameron.
Okay.
I have no opinion on it.
I know. I growing pains. That's all
I've
I
never
know.
Seen it.
Okay, well, anyway. Do you know the reason, Michael, why people dress up as certain political figures on Halloween?
Certain political figures.
Is it because they like that certain political
generally
figure?
No.
What? It's because they're mocking them.
Yes, they're making a mockery.
Well, Kirk Cameron believes that that's what we're also doing as Christians when we dress up as the devil.
Okay.
Goblins, witches, ghosts. We are mocking them in the good way because they were defeated at the cross.
Well,
and that's honestly one way to look at it. And I'm going to quote Olheiser here just for a second. What Cameron could say is that the more enjoyable traditions of the holiday can have a place within the practice of Christianity, something that has been true since the church set All Saints Day during the pagan harvest festival of Samhain.
Right.
And since we set Christmas at the same time as the popular Roman winter festival of Saturnalia.
Yes. It's called Reclaiming for Christ.
Is that what it's called?
Well,
I thought it was called.
I don't know if they call it that.
I don't know. Okay. This article suggests, however, that Kirk is saying that the only reason why we dress up for trick-or-treat is to mock Satan and his people. And his minions. I don't know. I'm kind of twisted on how I feel about this because I see where Cameron's coming from. And yes, that is a way to look at Halloween. But it's almost like he's denying the history.
Yeah.
And as Olheiser sums up in the article, We wouldn't have Halloween without Samhain, which was first, and we wouldn't have the Christmas, not the Christian part of Christmas, but like the Christmas tree, the Yule log. We wouldn't have those without Saturnalia, and it's like
we wouldn't have those. You go back further. You go back to Babylon, and even further than that.
Yeah.
So
okay, yeah, yeah, and it's almost like to deny that history is to live in a bubble.
Yeah.
And from that aspect, that's not what we should do.
Well, I'm going to have to read this article because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. It just came across the feed the other day, and I just want to tell Kirk Cameron to stay away from my birthday.
You be nice to Kirk Cameron. He's doing the best he can, brother.
My birthday is Halloween.
It is.
That's the segue there, people.
I'm going to dress up as you.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Hey, nice. Okay, any breaking news or anything as we're winding up here of the shortest episode ever?
Not that I've come across.
All right. Hey, what Christian themes have you found in Castaway? We know that you love the movie. You are a Tom Hanks fan. If you like good acting, you like good storytelling, you are obviously a proud owner of Castaway in your DVD collection. What Christian themes have you found in there? Let us know. You can call in to the voice hotline. We'll give you that number in a little bit. You can call the SpeakPipe voice line and sound crystal clear like Antonio in New York. Just by visiting any of our websites and using the voicemail widget on the left-hand side of the webpage. But call in, or you can write in. You can follow us on Twitter, on Facebook. All those good things we'll give you. All those coming up in just a few minutes once again. Brendan, what are we going to look at the next time?
Well, Michael, you know it's been 11 episodes since we've covered Harry Potter.
Oh, are we going back to the Wizarding World?
We are going back to the Wizarding World with Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
There's no such thing as magic.
Uncle Dursley, get back in your box right now.
We have had that conversation so many times. I'm getting tired of him in that thing. You know what I think? Here's what he's made of.
The air got to it.
Yeah, that's... Yes, the air...
He's blowing
actually,
hot air.
Actually, you could say the air got to Aunt Marge.
Yo, hey, yeah. Okay, so next time, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire right here on Finding Christ in Cinema. We're part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, using new media and social networking to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. For all things Christ in Cinema, get to the official website at christincinema.com. You'll find links to all the things that we do. You can send email to fcc@gctnetwork.com. I have yet to set up the brand new P.O. box, so don't send anything to any P.O. box if you intend for us to get it.
Call us up on the voice line at 507-407-GCTN. And for those without letters on the phones, that's 507-407-4286. And if you just want to listen to the podcast as if the air got to it.
Whoa, the air got to it. Where did he go? Here he is.
The air got to it.
Or if you don't even like falafel.
No!
Hold on.
No! Wait, I don't like falafel?
Just search iTunes, search Stitcher Radio, and search TuneIn Radio. For Finding Christ in Cinema.
And leave us reviews at any place that you can. And for all things produced at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including the Theonauts podcast and a whole bunch of videos and all kinds of fun stuff, get over to the official website at gctnetwork.com. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
You know, back home, my dentist's name is Dr. James Spaulding.
You know, I hate to be here.
And that is a wrap!
You ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
Yes, I don't understand.
It's a man! A
man!
Oh, no, not you again! Get out of here!
Cut to it! I don't understand.
Can I do that one? I don't know.
Come on, stop trying to hit me and hit me.
There you go, there's Morbius.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission.
At gctnetwork.com.
This is your Great Commission transmission. This is your Great Commission transmission.